Thanks for joining us for another Family Life Today program brought to you Monday to Friday by Power to Change. I'm sure you'll hear something today that could give you a fresh perspective on your marriage or family situation. Be encouraged as we join Dave and Ann Wilson.
This is going to be a fun day today.
Why is that?
One, we're going to...
Because we're together.
Because
you're with me, I'm with you.
Of course, that's always the best. But we're also going to be listening to Dane Ortlund today.
That's a good day.
And it's a message that he gave on the Love Like You Mean It marriage cruise last spring.
Yeah, we were there February. The sun was out. The wind was blowing. Thousands of couples on this boat. And I'm not even a cruise guy. I wouldn't like choose a cruise to be my vacation. But this cruise is the best thing ever because it's not just a vacation. You're working on your marriage. Every night there's a keynote talk on marriage. There's breakout sessions on topics that relate to your marriage. There's comedians on the boat. There's great bands and music. Dane Ortlund gave this talk last year. And this is a topic that not a lot of people talk about. Although you're writing a book, you just wrote a book.
This is my language right here. He's really talking about encouragement and the power that we have and how marriage can be transformed by the encouragement that we give our spouse. Here's Dane Ortlund.
First definition, what do we mean by biblical encouragement? You might hear something like, hey, I just want to encourage you to get up 30 minutes earlier and pray more. I want to encourage you to be more generous with your money. That is not what I'm talking about. That is not encouragement. That's law. That's shape up. What I mean by encouragement is the following. That subset of Christian love, a species of love, that subset of Christian love that identifies specific marks of God's presence in the life, now we're talking marriage here, in the life of our spouse with words to our spouse without joking, without a concluding sarcastic comment that actually is retracting and withdrawing what you just said and emptying it. There's a time for jokes, but not in encouragement as I'm commending it to you. That subset of Christian love that identifies specific, specificity, concrete. I saw the way you greeted Jennifer at church this morning. She was in some distress that was clear. You interacted with her with listening and love. God, the Holy Spirit, must be alive and well in you. You know, I know that you have wanted to grow in gentleness. I don't know if you see it. I see God doing that in you. Something like that. Now, you may already have objections rising up about this, so just hang in there with me. That's my definition of it. Three reasons we're reflecting on encouragement today. Number one, encouragement, I have found, at least it's been true for me, encouragement is neglected in our churches and in our marriages today. Do you think about it? Do you talk about it? Do you hear it? When was the last sermon you heard or Sunday school class talking about encouragement? Most of my life, as I say, I have neglected it. I have viewed it as nice but frothy, peripheral. The bubbles at the top of the root beer float. I just want you to know, guys, I no longer feel that way, believe that way about encouragement. Number one, it's neglected. Number two, encouragement has disproportionate power. Encouragement has disproportionate power. Do you not find this? C.S. Lewis died in 1963. He was friends with J.R.R. Tolkien. Tolkien wrote a letter in 1965, 2 years after Lewis had died, in which he said, I didn't write down the exact quote, but in which he said, I would never have finished The Lord of the Rings had it not been for the encouragement, and he uses that word, the encouragement of Jack Lewis. Now, what would the world be without The Lord of the Rings? And Tolkien says, I would never have brought it to completion. That was the phrase he used. Had it not been for the encouragement, the unflagging encouragement of Jack Lewis. Think of it this way. For you to encourage someone is to make a deposit in their heart that costs you about 50 cents. And as it goes through the air into their ears and deposits in their heart, what happens is it is suddenly a deposit of several hundred dollars. It has disproportionate power. What it costs you to offer it pales in comparison to what it actually gives of life to the person receiving it. It has disproportionate power, number two. Number one, it's neglected. Number two, disproportionate power. Number three, finally, we are told repeatedly in Scripture to encourage one another, so we cannot get around it. Number three, it's in the Bible. Let's look at it. Four texts. I've given you a definition and three reasons. Four texts. Now, the first one is 1 Thessalonians 5:11. And I'm just going to say probably one quick thing about each one of these. So we're going to go real quick here. Encourage one another. Encourage one another and build one another up. Insight number one from 1 Thessalonians 5, to encourage is to build up. This verb here that Paul uses, build up, is an architectural term. It's literally a building term. You are building someone up. You're not puffing them up. That's flattery for your sake. You're building them up, encouragement for their sake. Though, by the way, one of the great, wonderful, God-created secrets to encouragement is when you encourage someone, you set out to build them up, it also builds you up. Everyone wins. Encourage, build up. Maybe many of us in the room grew up in a home, the culture of which, from dad or mom or others, was not one of words building up, but of words tearing down. And if so, the wondrous privilege that you and I have with our spouses, after they have been torn down in the home that they grew up in, is to build them back up with encouragement. Encourage one another and build one another up. Text number one, 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Text number two, Romans 12:10. I'm going to give you four. Text number two, Romans 12:10. Outdo one another in showing honor. The one place in all the Bible where we are told as Christians to defeat one another. Outdo one another. Elbow your way to the front of the line in this thing called showing honor. Be the first one up the hill in this thing of showing honor or encouragement. It doesn't say encourage, doesn't use the language of encourage. It uses this beautiful language that means the same thing of showing honor. It's the same word, if you have a Bible open, it's the same word used over in chapter 13, the next chapter. We're in chapter 12. In Romans 13, verse 7, it speaks of honor, same Greek noun, honor to whom honor is due. The context there is the civil authorities, and Paul says, pay to everyone exactly what you owe them. Pay to them what is owed. And he says, honor to whom honor is due. Now just notice, in chapter 13, with regard to civil authorities, Paul says, give them exactly the right amount of honor that they deserve. Neither more nor less, the correct amount. When you're dealing with the world and the civil authorities and taxes and so on. But in the church and in your marriage with Christians, chapter 12, outdo one another in showing honor, flood, irrigate, deluge, lavish honor on one another. What a gorgeous vision for a way to be together. Outdo one another in showing honor. I would like to grow in that. Text number three, Hebrews 10. It's verse 25 that I want to draw your attention to. I'll begin reading at verse 24 of Hebrews 10. Let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works. Verse 25, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging, there it is, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Apparently, encouragement is how we roll. In other words, the writer can swap in, encourage one another as an equally viable phrase for meeting together, because that's what we do. Is that true in your marriage? What about in your church? Would you say what's bubbling out all the time is meaningful encouragement? Let's grow in that. Text number four, finally, 1 Peter 3:7, the first one that is explicitly attached to marriage here. In verses 1-6, Peter has been talking to wives. Now he pivots and talks to husbands in verse 7. 1 Peter 3:7, husbands. This was a new discovery for me just this week, talking through this text with my wife. Husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor. Same word as Romans 12 and 13, showing honor. It means value. It's actually a word that was used to refer to monetary currency in the first century. Showing honor, preciousness, value. To the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life. Just one observation. Apparently, I mean, Peter says the one thing, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor. Apparently, husbands, guys, we are to lead the way in our marriages in showing honor. If there is an encouragement stalemate, maybe it was never there, and one of you or both of you would love for your marriage to be irrigated with this beautiful reality of encouraging one another, the husbands take the first step forward in encouraging. Let me sum up those four texts. To encourage is to build up by showing lavish honor and thereby being a normal Christian. It's normal Christianity, and husbands lead the way.
You're listening to Family Life Today, and we've been listening to Dane Ortlund.
And I'm challenged right now.
I was so excited that he ended right there, like, yes, husbands, step up.
I mean, honestly, he was talking to both husbands and wives, but man, if I stepped up, it would change our marriage. I know it would, just to speak life, to encourage you. You do that every single day to me.
You do that to me, though, too.
Oh, good. Okay. I just wondered. I don't think I do it as much, but you are all pro.
You're
as
nice.
Encouragement. And we're only halfway done.
Yeah.
He's just in the middle of his talk, so we're going to go back and hear the rest of Dane.
Five objections. Objection number one. I hear you, Dane. Honestly, dude, I feel a little awkward giving sincere, specific encouragement to my spouse. Just brace yourself or plug your ears, one or the other. Because the answer to that is actually, I say this with respect towards you, and the answer is actually, get over it. I know how you feel. Let's get over it together. Better to live a life of obeying the scripture awkwardly than holding it at arm's length comfortably. Objection number two, but I can't find anything in my spouse to honor. Sir, you're not looking hard enough. Take a step back and get some perspective and remember who this saint is that you are doing life with. If you went to the Art Institute of Chicago and walked up to a Monet, walked right up to the wall and looked at it like this an inch away and said, I just can't see anything, any beauty, any glory. We would tap you on the shoulder and say, back up and get some perspective. You didn't marry the person you're married to because as you were dating, they made you miserable. There was something, there was many things. There was a constellation of glory about that person. Rekindle that. Look harder. Get some perspective. Number three, objection. But I don't have the gift of encouragement. And you might say it is a gift, and I would agree with you. In Romans 12, it does appear that encouragement is a gift. You might say, I don't have the gift of encouragement. Answer, you're probably right. Odds are You are correct. But here's the problem. While it is a gift, the apostles in the text we looked at do not come to the end of an exhortation to encourage one. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, comma, provided, of course, that you have the gift of encouragement. And if you do not, then you are excused from ever encouraging anyone, period. The New Testament calls to encouragement, while it is a gift, some will lead the way in. The New Testament calls to encouragement land indiscriminately on all of us. Objection number four, won't I be promoting something unhealthy if I do this too much in my spouse? Pride. Or I don't want to flatter them. I don't want to puff them up. I don't want to promote pride in my spouse. Now, as if in this room here of a couple hundred people, half of us, say this half of the room here, walked into this morning devotional discouraged, in need of encouragement, and the other half walked into the room this morning blown up with pride, needing to be brought down, and we need to figure out who are the ones who need encouragement and who don't. What a misunderstanding of what it is to be a fallen human being. The old Scottish pastor Ian McLaren said, "Have pity, for everyone is fighting a hard battle." Better the possibility of pride with encouragement than the certainty of discouragement and thinness of marriage without it. Objection number five, shouldn't we also rebuke and correct? Isn't that in the New Testament? Yes, but we don't outdo one another in it. We are not trying to defeat one another, and I will do more rebuking and correcting than you. What if every gentle rebuke or correction, which in a marriage is uttered something along the lines of, "Hey, I love you so much," and you don't do this in the middle of a fight. "I love you so much. May I be so bold with my finite vision of reality here? May I be so bold as to just very cautiously and gently offer something I think I'm observing, and I may not be looking at things right." Like that. You know what I'm saying? You offer it cautiously and gently. What if every one of those came in the wake of a tidal wave of 10 or 50 or 100 encouragements? That's a correction you can receive. Those are my five objections. Finally, one secret to it all. And this is, if you know the logic of the New Testament, this is the nuclear core of the Christian life, including encouragement. Namely, if we had time to study all four of the texts we have looked at, we would see that in each case, it is the good news of the gospel, of the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross and rising again in our place, that is informing and fueling and flowing into all four of those exhortations to encouragement. In other words, what is the gospel? God, so to speak, spoke life. He came with a word, a concrete word of life to you, saying, "My son died in your place. I love and embrace you and invincibly, eternally befriend you and pull you into my heart." It's a word of life, the gospel is. All we are doing in encouragement as believers is passing on a word of life. In other words, we are just helping people feel what the gospel, what the good news actually feels like.
You're listening to Family Life Today, and we've been listening to a portion of a talk that Dane Ortlund gave on the Love Like You Mean It cruise last February. And man, the way he ended that talk, just showing us that just a simple word or act of encouragement is literally the giving the gospel to your spouse or your neighbor, your friend. When you encourage them, you are speaking gospel life into them.
I've never really thought of it that way. I mean, that's what Jesus does to us. He's constantly encouraging us. He sees us. And the crazy thing is he sees all of it and he still encourages us.
Yeah, I've never thought of encouragement being a way for someone to feel. I think that's a key word, to feel the impact of the gospel on their life. And so, man, that's motivating to say, okay, I want to be an encouraging person. I want to speak life, not death. I want my neighbors to run into my front yard because every time they're around me, they feel seen and heard and they feel the impact of the gospel. Mm. Sometimes I don't want my neighbors anywhere near my front yard. But man, when we're encouraging, it's a magnet and people are drawn to that. And I think that's why people are drawn to Christ.
I want to thank Dave and Ann Wilson and their team for another edition of Family Life Today. Although our programs are produced in America, the issues facing families like forgiveness, communication, and taking care of our kids transcend national borders. These issues profoundly affect relationships everywhere. In Australia, family life is known as Power to Change, and our mission is to effectively develop godly families, the kind of families that change the world one home at a time. A key part of our mission includes strengthening marriages and families all around the world. We want to do whatever we can to bring timeless truths to the challenges you face as you seek to strengthen your family and join us in changing the world. If you'd like to listen to today's program again, visit our website families.powertochange.org.au and select the podcast tab where you will find the previous fortnight's programs available. We hope you can join us tomorrow at the same time for another Family Life Today.